description. Why are we messed up, and why are we not showing them anything different? And I take all this stuff personal in my life. I try to say, you know, obviously, why aren't I showing them something different? And it to me is always rooted into one thing. What messes the world up, what messes me up, what messes you up is our failure to identify with being in Christ and Christ being in me. It is simply a matter of who I am in Christ, who he's called me to be, and everything should stem off of that. See, when I see myself in him, I see all these things that he talks about in the Bible. When I see myself outside of him, I'm messed up. Where does all this nonsense come from? It's like we can't even say the word gender anymore. Guess what? You don't get to choose. He chose for you, and he knows what he's doing. Absent him, you're confused. In him, it's clear. If I was bought with a price, I don't get to choose anymore. Say, what does this have to do with anything? Just my introduction. You know, as because we've been going through this passage of scripture. Throw that scripture up. Yeah, that one. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay. So my version says it slightly different. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So we've been talking about, we talked about clothing yourself and then all these attributes. And this was supposed to be a one-time sermon that's turning into like six. And I've struggled with this. And a lot of my struggle is I don't identify with these things. I've been thinking about my life, and you know, I've not necessarily been known for my gentleness. I know some of that's a huge surprise. You know? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It's all these things that he is. And I look in the mirror and say, those are all things that I have not demonstrated throughout my life. But yet, I can't escape the fact that I am his and he is mine. And it's no longer I that live, but him that lives in me. So therefore, I am compassion. I am kind. I am humble. I am gentle and I am patient. Why? Because that's who he is. So how can I profess to abide in him if I'm not all those things? So where's the problem? The problem is only in who I'm identifying with. The problem is only in what I'm thinking about. The problem is, do I take the word serious? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Am I spending my time in the Word? Why? It renews me. Am I spending my time talking to Jesus? Why? Because it renews me. It gives me experiences that reinforce what he says. What am I doing? Because if I'm not seeing my life filled with compassion, filled with kindness, filled with humility, filled with gentleness, and filled with patience, then I'm not abiding. So I say all that to say, what are we doing? Spent the last year and a half talking to you all about the kingdom of God. Why? Because we need to know how to relate to Him. Why? So we know how to relate to ourselves, which is probably the biggest factor in all of it. So one we let go of all the time. I should love me. Why? Because everything about God is rooted and founded in love. It's the only foundation to build upon. If I can't love myself, that means I'm not loving Him, because He loved me before I was. How can I love you? Because the expression of it all that the world wants to see is that we love one another. All of this is built upon love. See, the kingdom of God, you're really living in the kingdom of God when you're exercising love all the time. And the fruit of that are these things. We're talking about how are we supposed to relate to one another in a manner that the world sees that we're different. If that doesn't apply to our lives, we might as well stop now. And I can quit talking, and we can do what other places do. Just go on our merry way and see no difference in this world. And I am not chastising anyone. I'm talking to myself. See, for years now, those of you that have been sitting here, you've got to hear me talk to myself. Now, if God says something to you during the times I'm talking to myself, that's phenomenal. But all I know is I need a good, harsh talking to now and then. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God and say I fell short. When He's given me everything, everything I need for godliness, everything I need to fulfill the destiny that He's intended for me before I ever was, everything. Eternal life is yours now. Why wait?
So that's my introduction to gentleness.
I tried really hard to do you guys a favor and get my wife to speak on this. I really did. And I woke up four or five this morning, something, and all this stuff started. I'm seeing a world that, you know, a he doesn't know what he means anymore, and a she doesn't know what she means anymore, and pronouns don't mean what pronouns mean anymore. And I was like, wow, they've lost touch with their creator. And sometimes I think that's how we live. God, I go through my day, and have I lost touch with you at times? Does everybody that encounters me encounter gentleness? If they're not, I'm not abiding. Remember, we talked about it initially, getting dressed, putting this stuff on, clothes, right? I think I said last time, He never told us to take them off. So anytime I'm encountered, they should be able to partake of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Why? Because that's who He is. If that's who He is, that's who you are. Because you died and He lives in you. So let's just, it's early. I really could go long. Usually you guys make me feel like I only have a short time. I really believe that it's time the people of God live out of his kingdom. What do I mean? It means they so identify with him. See, the kingdom of God is all about God. They so identify with him that out of them comes him. They live out of who they are in Christ. And guess what? That doesn't look like an individual. It looks like a collective body impacting the world. So what's that mean? It means I can't do it without you. I need you in my life. I'm incomplete without you. Why? Because you're here. What do you mean? You're here for a reason. If you're following the Lord, he brought you here for a reason, which means I need something you have. See, unity isn't a one-person thing. And he's called us to unity, not only with him, but one another. Why? So they see something different. So we were teasing Browns a week or so ago when we got with them. We're going to teach on humility and just show a picture of Bob. So I was thinking about, you know, picture of Bruce for gentleness probably wouldn't quite portray, you know, pictures worth a thousand words, right? Might not portray what you're trying to convey. And I have a daughter who's very pregnant. I had this picture of my mind because I know someday soon I'm going to walk into a hospital room or that, and there's going to be this mother who is my child holding her child, which will be my grandchild. And it's so gentle. It's so nurturing. It's so, I mean, just the picture describes it. You see this beautiful, unimaginable, how did this creation become? And the preciousness of it, the care that God has knitted into it to even bring it into this world and give it life. And you start to begin to understand gentleness. Sometimes words just don't bring forth enough definition. But I have words. Meekness. The word is praus, apparently a primary word for mild by implication. Meek, praus, a form of praus, which means gentle or humble. These words so intertwine. So I looked up a few sayings. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. Now, I think week before, the last time I was here and spoke, I told you guys that I was a weather prophet. And I'm paraphrasing, because if I wore a sweatshirt, it would be 90 degrees outside. If I wore short sleeves, it'd be 55 degrees. So I've tested that theory since I've last seen you, and I'm like 95% accurate. What I didn't realize that it applies inside as well as outside, because I think it's freezing in here. Just so you know. So I'm cold, and I wore short sleeves. Yeah. So what I've decided in that is I'm going to continue to wear short sleeves until I'm right. So, gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is a tender, compassionate approach towards others weaknesses and limitations. A gentle person still speaks truth, sometimes even painful truth, but in doing so guards his tone so the truth can be well received. Gentleness is the quality of being kind and careful. It is kind, amiable, not severe, rough, or violent. It is mild, moderate, polite, refined, and respectable. Gentleness is the virtue that restrains the passion of anger. In order to be truly gentle, one must be strong. Only strong people can be gentle because gentleness restrains strength by love. Gentleness in the kingdom of God is not an option. It is a grave obligation. Saint Francis de Sales says, better to make penitence by gentleness than hypocrites by severity. Saint Jerome, there is nothing so strong as gentleness and nothing so gentle as real strength. Gentleness is a value and quality in one's character. And who defines our character? The one we identify with. See, the fact is, if I abide in him, he tells me what fruit I'll have. I don't define the truth. I only define the abiding. Don't like the fruit? Check your abiding. He's made life so simple for us. Okay? He made you, right? Gave you everything you need to live a godly life. Everything, in spite of what life brings. And then what he did, just in case you didn't get it, he like wrote this book for you. Okay? Guidelines to successful living. Right? A life of relationship. And he talks about how to relate to him, how to relate to yourself, and how to relate to others. And in so doing, he says, guess what? You do all these things, you're going to live well. So he like made it real easy. And for some reason, we go, oh yeah, cool. So great. Okay, God, you're there. I'm going to go out my day and forget about you. Then if I get frustrated enough, look in the mirror, say some things not so nice about me in the mirror, and pretty much puke all over everybody else and wonder why my day went bad. Right? Instead of starting my day in relationship with God, inviting him to relate with me throughout the day, looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus and all the qualities that are bestowed upon me through him and living those out, following the guidebook. And then somehow realizing at the end of the day, all the trouble I had the other way was still there, but somehow it didn't touch me. Sometimes I think I'm just the person that opens the box, sees the instructions, toss them aside, and thinks I can build it. Assemble how I think. And then wonder why there's 3-4 parts at the end of it that are extra. So what's the word say about all this stuff? Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So other versions say, for I am gentle and humble in heart, So I underline the I am, because I want to bring a really good understanding of this gentleness thing. See, it starts, sustains, and never ends with the two words, I am. What am I saying? It's all about Him. The kingdom of God is all about God. Living in the kingdom of God is all about God. If I am to invoke the qualities and character that the Bible describes that we're supposed to have towards one another, I have to be in Him at all times. And what's the word just say? It says, I am gentle. Remember, we have to build upon a foundation. Building blocks, the foundation of love. Jesus Christ is a cornerstone. He's gentle. It's one of the bricks in the wall. Maybe we should start writing on them. All in all, just another brick in the wall. See, he didn't know he was writing a prophetic song. Gentle, compassionate, kind. So with that as our foundation, he is gentle. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, I want to stop there. He's talking to you. Just want to make that clear. Okay. Hey, you, man of God. No, I'm talking to you. Okay. You shall be looking at me because I'm talking to you. See, he says you're a person of his. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? All of us that profess to be in him, he's talking to. He's really made it simple. You can't say, oh, no, he's talking to Terry. Well, you can say he's talking to Terry, but not exclude yourself. You know, sometimes the book is so much easier to read when you exclude yourself. I always thought it was because then I could just tell everybody what they could do. You know, this is what you should do, like, because it says so. And I could just step aside and exclude myself. I'm telling you, God has worked me over the last 20 plus years. This stuff applies to me. I think that's one of the reasons he gave me four daughters. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So, I underlined a word here. Anybody guess what the word is? Pursue. So first he says, hey, this is what I am, right? And then he gives us a mission. Pursue this. So what's he saying? Pursue him. Say, so I could stand here and say that I am blessed and my factory is running at 250% of capacity, which is an accurate statement, and I could do nothing about it. And have a lot of failure in life. Or I could do what I've done, work extra hours, including weekends, and try to help curb the capacity so we can fulfill the orders, right? Pursue him. Don't look in the mirror and say, I'm not compassionate. I'm not kind. Not humble. Not gentle. Definitely not patient. You may be accurate. My comment would be, you're not pursuing the one who is. Because his word does say, if you seek him, you will find him. And if you find him, you will be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Don't look in the mirror anymore and see yourself absent of him. Because you are not lacking of any of these qualities of characters that he possesses. See, you don't have just a little bit of Jesus in you. You have the fullness of Jesus in you. Live it. That's my challenge. And you can remind me of it anytime that you're not seeing these things in me. Why? Because it's your duty. The question is, will you do it gentle? Can you encourage one another gently? Because I know how to step on you. I know how to cast stones. I know how to manipulate. I know how to maneuver. I can know how to make you feel a way to get you to do it. But can I practice gentleness and encourage you and build you up so you can add another brick and be built up in him? See, that's what he's calling us to do. We encourage one another gently. Pursue it. Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with another in love. So, God says, this is what I am. And what's he describing? He's describing his kingdom. These are the things you get in the kingdom of God. Then he says, pursue these things. Then he says, to show yourself worthy of being in the kingdom of God, right? Live a life worthy. This is a now word. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. That's supposed to be now. None of you got that. No, you got it intelligently. Yeah, I get it. But none of you got it because you'd all be shouting the victory. You scored the winning touchdown and you didn't get off your seat. It's truth. We know it, but we don't know it, so we do nothing with it. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be. How many of you know he doesn't ask you or inform you or tell you to be something you can't be? Therefore, he's made it simple. You abide in him, you are gentle. Absent him, good luck. Once in a while, you'll get it right. You swing the bat enough times, sooner or later, you'll hit the ball. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So how do we know when we're living in the kingdom of God? It's evident to all. It's evident to all. He calls you to pursue, he calls you to be, then he calls you to display. Your life is a display of God's goodness in your life. And what do people see? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's evident to all. What do you have to do? Abide, pursue, be. Just identify with him. All the confusion goes away. On the home stretch. Proverbs 15:1. Here's a benefit. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how your days go. I don't know what environment you're in. I'm in a hostile one. Called construction. How many is in construction? Okay. There aren't any nice people in construction. They're not. You know, I called a guy up, vice president of the company. I said, I'm done with your guy. I'm just done. I told you what I was going to do. I'm going to do it in spite of it. He brings up one more threat to me. I'm just going to walk off the job, or you can tell them to be quiet, and I'm going to fulfill my commitment. I'm not going to be abused by your guy, period. They just want to abuse you into doing so. Done work with me. So I told the guy, you know what I respond to? Kindness. You treat me right, I'll break my back for you. You come at me hard, I'm done with you. I'll tear up the contract, you go find somebody, I don't care about the cost, I'm just done with you. See, there's a reason why his kindness led me towards repentance. I grew up hearing a lot about the wrath of God. But gentleness turns away wrath. He is gentle. You understand the strength in gentle. You understand how you can turn somebody away from a bad path just by being gentle. You know, God will almost always come to you in a gentle voice. Why? Because it draws you to him. There's power in gentleness. That power is in you waiting to be let out. Proverbs 25:15, another benefit. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Want to hurt somebody? Don't give them what they deserve. Give them gentleness. You guys should all be thinking about Jesus because you didn't get what you deserved. And for most of us, his gentleness broke us. And it's the best breaking we could ever have. And that's what people need from us. Christ in you.
Last verse, will you guys stand with me? First Peter 3:3. This is you. As a kingdom citizen, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. Who's in you? Jesus. The unfading beauty. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I know it's different in that version. I wanted you to hear the ones I had. When we just let Jesus be Jesus in us, we are of great worth in God's sight. So Colossians says to clothe yourself with these attributes, and we'll finish up with patience next week. Now I want you guys to think about all the stuff this week. Next week, we're going to, at the end of it, we're all going to come forward. We're going to pray for one another, because these characteristics should be how we relate. And we need to get these things right. We need to commit them to one another. We need to be proactively encouraging one another to let these things out. Why? Because you're of great worth. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the experience of knowing you and walking with you, talking with you, sharing you with one another, God. This week, Father, I just ask you, bless the hearer with revelation of their great worth in your sight. I pray that they would never see themselves the same. They'd look in the mirror and they'd see you, Jesus. They'd go about their day letting you out. And I thank you for that. I speak that over their life. Your favor, your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful Memorial Holiday.